Blog Talk Radio.
What's going on, folks? It's your boy Long Beach Joe, and we are back at it again. It is time. We are ready. It's time to talk about the New York Jets and a lot of the roster moves that they have made. We had cuts going. We also had some trades as well. You know, Chris Herndon. We traded for Shaq Lawson. We're going to get into all of that stuff. We made some moves, really did a lot of good stuff, and some things that a lot of people are questioning as well. As always, the lines are open, 515-602-9639. 515-602-9639 is the number you can call in. I cannot wait to get into it. So listen, I am the man of the people. I'm here for the people. Let me shamelessly promote my Facebook page. Everyone go on Facebook, search The Long Beach Joe Show. Like that page. My content's up there. Go ahead and give it a listen. Message me. I'll message you right back. I love going back and forth with folks about this football team. Also, leave me some feedback. I love hearing about what you folks think I do here on The Long Beach Joe Show. I'm also on iTunes, man. Listen, everybody that listens to the show live on Blog Talk Radio, salutes to y'all. Everybody that watches the show as well on my iTunes, Long Beach Joe Jet, salutes to you as well. I'm on iTunes. Subscribe to your boys' podcast on iTunes. You know what I'm saying? Leave me some feedback. I got feedback from, you know, some people giving me a 5-star rating. Salutes to everybody. You know, salutes to all of you giving me those 5-star ratings. But, hey, leave your boys some feedback as well, you know. I got a little bit of feedback, people feeling what I'm doing. Salutes to Mr. Magic. Salutes to all the other people as well that left me a little bit of feedback. Leave me some more. I want to hear what you folks think about what I'm doing here. You know, I want to hear your takes. I want to hear your thoughts about how you feel about, you know, what I'm doing here on my show. So please, again, Long Beach Joe Show on iTunes. It's right there. Go ahead and subscribe. Listen to my shows on there. And also leave your boy some feedback. Give me a 5-star rating. Let me know how you feel about this situation, about what we're doing over here when we're talking Jets. I'm also live as well on YouTube. I live stream while I do my live radio show. So if you want to watch the show live on YouTube, hey, drop on by Long Beach Joe Jets. Long Beach Joe Jets on YouTube. Go ahead and subscribe. And when you subscribe, turn on your notifications so when I post content, you folks will be in the know. And also give my stream a thumbs up. You know what I'm saying? And share the streams as well. You know, share them with your friends, your family, across your social media. It's always greatly appreciated when you folks do that, all right? So now it's time to get into it, okay? Because we got quite a bit to talk about. Again, 515-602-9639. 515-602-9639 is the number. Call in. We are talking Jets. Salutes to all the savages in the chat. I'll come to you folks in just a second. Listen, the New York Jets have made some moves, okay? And they're, you know, Joe Douglas, he's in there cooking up and trying to do his best to better this football team. First move I want to talk about, the trade for Shaq Lawson. Listen, the New York Jets traded a 2022 6th-round pick to the Houston Texans and picked up Shaq Lawson. Now, I looked at this move and I said to myself, the second that I heard, you know, the second it got announced, the second that I heard about it, I was like, okay, this is a good move. There was a lot of people saying, hey, this was a move, you know, to replace Carl Lawson and all these things. And I said, whoa, let's slow down a little bit. Now, Carl Lawson, we all knew he was one of the big free agent signings that we had in the offseason. One of the moves that I loved the most, right? Here was a guy that we brought in and we said, hey, we finally have a pass rusher. We finally have a real guy that's going to be able to come in here and get after the passer week in and week out, something that we have not had since, I don't know, man, John Abraham. We haven't had somebody be able to do that consistently for years here. So finally have a guy now that we brought in. Then what happens? He ruptures his Achilles tendon, and he's done. That all happened in, you know, a practice. Ruptures his Achilles, said and done. So now we're looking for a guy. Joe Douglas makes this move. We were also hoping other guys would fill in as well. We said, hey, maybe Gerard Davis can be a guy that we can push and he can do some things. Well, he ended up getting injured as well in a game. So he's going to be out, I believe, until week 6, as they said, when he's going to be able to come back. Then we said, okay, well, we still have other pass rushers as well, right? We still have some guys. We talked about Bryce Huff. We talked about John Franklin Myers. And a lot of people were saying, hey, even myself, hey, Vinnie Curry. Vinnie Curry is also another situational guy that we could bring back as well, that's going to come back as well into the fold soon, you know. And we're going to be able to move him in. He's going to give us some situational pass rush as well. We're going to be all right. And then Vinnie Curry ends up with the, you know, disease that he has. he's done for the season. So looking around and making this type of move, I thought was a solid move by Joe Douglas. I thought it was a good move. He didn't give up too much at all, you know. And I think that Lawson is the guy that's going to come in and help with the situation. Now, am I expecting Shaq Lawson to give us 15, 16, 17 sacks this season? No, I'm not. I'm just – when you look at the – when you look at, you know, the history there, I doubt he comes in and gives us that. But just coming in and being able to help us, I think, is going to be huge. That's a big thing for me. So I'm excited about that. We're getting a guy that's going to be able to help us a little bit in the pass rush, give us something, right? Still going to have another rotational guy, John Franklin Myers, Bryce Huff, you know, all the other guys that we have there, and they're going to be able to bring the heat. So I like the move. I like giving up a six-round pick, which is just a six-round pick for Lawson. And also his contract, the way that it's structured now, none of it is guaranteed. So if we decide to move on from him, I think we're only paying him, what, $900,000 this year? If we decide to move on from him, right, then fine. We move on, nothing. We just wash our hands of him. It's not going to kill our cap, nothing like that. So I like the move. I like what we did there. I like bringing him in. Here's a guy that's going to be able to help us so we just don't kind of fall off of a cliff within the pass rushing situation. We have another guy that we can throw in there, and you know, and we'll see how things move forward. But I like this move. I thought it was a solid move, another solid trade by Joe Douglas. Now, we go from that move. Everybody's feeling good. You know, we're like, all right. And then, boom, another trade comes across the timeline. The Jets trade Chris Herndon. Okay, now the New York Jets, for those of you that don't know, the New York Jets traded a 2022 six-round pick and Chris Herndon to the Minnesota Vikings for a fourth rounder. Now, let me tell you something. Let me tell you something right now. This was a fire. This was a fire trade. Everyone knows, you know, my feelings on Chris Herndon. Okay, here's a guy that I talked about consistently that I couldn't wait to actually show us something at some point, right? Everybody was all talking about Chris Herndon. Oh, he's going to be this. He's going to be the next Kittle for us. We got Mike LaFleur. We saw what San Francisco did with tight ends, and Chris Herndon is going to be that tight end for us. And we saw that he wasn't really doing much of anything this offseason, right? We heard reports about him struggling to pick up the offense. We saw him dropping footballs. We saw a lot of the same things, right, that we've been seeing these last years. I let my feelings be known about Chris Herndon, about, you know, me not really feeling like he was a guy that had lived up to all of the hype that a lot of people were surrounding him with, that he needed to show me more. Before I believed that Chris Herndon was going to turn into one of these great tight ends to be in this league, I needed to see it at this point because we had been consistently hearing about all these things with Chris Herndon, but we'd never seen it. Well, comes time, make our cuts, and Joe Douglas is able to pull this trade off. And I say to myself, wow, a fourth-round pick for Chris Herndon, I was stunned. Because in my mind, Chris Herndon was a player that more than likely was not going to make this roster. Actually, in my mind, he was not going to make this roster. He's not performed better than Croft, even though Griffin was hurt, right? He wasn't better than Griffin. There were other guys. We talked about Yeboah, who we cut, and we'll get into that. He's actually on the practice squad now. I thought Yeboah outperformed him. Chris Herndon had done nothing yet again. And I said, hey, Chris Herndon's on his way out the door. Well, the Jets are able to take him, a six-round pick, and turn that into solid capital. Now, there was a lot of people complaining when Joe Douglas, you know, traded some picks to move up for Vera Tucker, where here we get back a fourth-rounder, which is solid capital, that he can utilize yet again to move up in some of these rounds. Or maybe even take a young guy in, you know, future rounds as well that's going to be able to come in here and put together some productive season for us. I mean, come on. You know, that's a move. And I know that there was a lot of people trying to blast Joe Douglas and all these other things. I don't understand why. This was a very good move by Joe Douglas. I love the trade. I love that he was able to move on from Chris Herndon, send him somewhere else, and get some solid capital back to continue to help and benefit this football team. Because, again, this was a guy that I definitely did not think was going to make this roster whatsoever. So yet another good move by Joe Douglas, right? So now we're coming off those two trades, and I'm saying to myself, wow, Joe Douglas is really doing his thing. He's really making moves. He's really bettering his football team. He's really helping us out, right? Then another move comes along. The New York Jets release Bless Austin. And I go, whoa, this is a big one. This move, I mean, the trades were surprising, but this, when we talked about roster cuts, right, we talked about all the issues that we had, particularly some of the issues that we had on defense. One of the biggest question marks on our defense has always been, always, even before the injuries, before all that stuff, one of the biggest issues that we have had on defense, one of the biggest question marks has always been the cornerback position. Always. We've always said, hey, look, what are we going to do there? After Bless Austin, Bryce Hall, who is even going to pick up this slot corner position? A lot of people constantly were talking about Bless Austin and Bryce Hall, particularly, especially Bless Austin. He's not really a good guy, but he's the kind of the only guy, the most experienced guy we have there. What are we going to do? There were talks that we had on this very program about the New York Jets trading for a corner. We talked about that too. We talked about all those things here, right? So we constantly were talking about Bless, and we were saying, okay, well, what can this guy bring to the table? And the New York Jets move on from him. I don't think anybody really expected this at all because it seemed like he was going to be a guy to make the roster. There wasn't anyone in, you know, most Jets fans' mind that were going to push him off the roster. But nonetheless, Joe Douglas makes this move. Now, here's the deal. Is Bless Austin a great corner? No. I talked about him constantly. He wasn't. We've seen him get cooked year in and year out. He was getting cooked last year, right? But the big question mark now is, hey, who's going to fill that number two spot? Because I would assume that Bryce Hall or that Hall is going to move into that number one corner position. So if he does move into that number one corner position, which it looks like he will, who's going to be our number two corner? Now it leaves the door open for a lot of these young guys that we have brought in. Some of these guys that, honestly, we just drafted are probably going to have to step into starting position roles, particularly on our cornerback position, and they're going to have impact immediately. So I'm looking at guys like Carter. I'm looking at guys like Pinnock. I'm looking at guys like Echols, Isaiah Dunn. These guys are going to have to step into these roles. Particularly, I think this guy, Echols, might actually end up being our number two corner. And let me tell you something. I like Echols. I do. But he's raw. He is raw, and we talked about that. We had a live stream during the draft, and the second that he was brought in, I said, look, I like this kid. The athleticism is good, but he's very raw, and we saw that this preseason. We also saw Isaiah Dunn get cooked in the preseason. I'm sure the chat's going to go off in a second. We saw him get cooked as well, you know, and so there's when you look at the situation now at corner, it becomes even more intriguing. Because now you got a lot of young guys, particularly a corner, that are going to be learning on the fly. So we're, especially with us having, you know, issues at pass rush, we'll see how that sorts out because we lost Carl Lawson, our big pass rusher. Now the cornerback position becomes even more vulnerable because you're going to have a lot of young guys learning. And let me tell you what this is going to show. This is going to expose how good or bad our coaching is. This is going to be the test right here. Because as much as I love Sulla, and I've told people left and right that I think that this entire situation is about Sulla and his scheme being able to fit guys in situations and make them productive. We're going to see. They're going to be tested. This coaching staff is going to be tested week in and week out with this young defense that we have here at corner. These young guys at corner, you're going to be tested week in and week out. Can you put these young guys in position on a weekly basis to be successful? Can you make sure that your scheme – okay, can you make sure that your scheme is being put to them so easily and so simply? Can you make your scheme easy to grasp so that they can go out there and just play and not have to think? Because the last thing that you want a cornerback out there doing is thinking a lot, because then that's when they get cooked. Can you make sure that these young guys are so disciplined within your scheme, so disciplined within their roles on your scheme, that they can go out there and be successful? These are big questions that we're going to be seeing. These are big questions that we're going to see answers to on a weekly basis, let me tell you, on a weekly basis. So this New York Jets cornerback position gets even more interesting with the release of Bless Austin. Now, I like Hall. Hall showed me some things. Again, there's even question marks about him. Can he consistently play the way that we need him to play? That was my big question about him. I need to see consistency. I was impressed with the first year. He got cooked at time, but that's what happens with rookie corners. But I was impressed by him. I need to see him play well consistently, though. That's what I need to see. So we'll be talking about that tonight. Again, 515-602-9639 is the number. Call in. We are getting to it. So before I get to the callers, the last thing I want to talk about is the news comes out today. Boom. After all these things, roster cuts, moves, and we'll be discussing all of that tonight. Now it comes out Jamison Crowder is dealing with the virus. Okay, and I say the virus because we all know why we're wearing masks around here. Okay, we all know that. I don't want to say the word. YouTube be tripping. Okay, we all know why we're dealing with why we're wearing masks around here. Now Crowder is dealing with the situation here. He's dealing with the virus. We're trying to see exactly where he's going to be. There's a lot of question marks surrounding whether he'll be ready for week one. There's a lot of question marks about that situation, but he does have 10 days. So we got 10 days to figure things out. He's going to be within the protocol. A lot of the things are going to be based on whether he is vaccinated or not, and we'll figure that out, whether he's taken that or, you know, maybe they'll release that, maybe they won't. So it's a lot to talk about surrounding that as well. I don't want to get too deep into it because, again, YouTube be tripping, okay? But we all know the news has come out. He's dealing with the virus, and we're going to talk about that tonight as well, the impact on the New York Jets wide receiving core with that situation too. So, again, 515-602-9639, 515-602-9639. Call in. We are talking Jets. We are discussing it all tonight, all right? We're discussing all of the, you know, the roster cuts. We're discussing everything. So, again, 515-602-9639, 515-602-9639. Call in. The lines are open. Salutes to everybody. Again, I'll be talking to my savages in the chat. Salutes to all of the savages. John Holden, NY Jets, Boycott, Michael Dunsing, Daniel Roberts, Eddie DeJesus, Christopher, Mikel, what's going on, my guys? We're going to get right into it. For those of you that do not know, I call my chat the savages. Why? Because they are savage, okay? They're savage, and they will get after you, right? Savage! Straight savage, okay? They will get after you. If they don't like your opinion, if they don't like your take, you're going to hear about it, all right? So while I live stream or while I do my live radio show, my live stream is flowing as well, and my savages are in there, and they're going off. And we come to them as well. They ask questions, they talk, and they bring it. So we're going to come to them as well throughout the night. Again, 515-602-9639, 515-602-9639. Call in. I cannot wait. So we're going to get to these lines. First guy I'm going to, I think this is my guy, Mikel. Mikel, I'm coming directly to you, man. I'm coming to you, and I want to talk to you about this New York Jets, and I want to talk to you about some of the moves that we have made. Salute to you. I want to thank you for calling in tonight, my man. Give me your thoughts about the New York Jets trading for Shaq Lawson. How do you feel about this situation?
What's up, yo? Yo.
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 When I saw this, yo, when I first heard about the Shaq Lawson trade, man, it was the same energy. I never took it as it was going to be a replacement for Carl Lawson, but I like that Joe Douglas was reactive. You know, in the past, I kind of felt like Joe Douglas was just standing around watching everything happen around him. So for him to kind of jump in there and say, okay, you know what, I might not be able to replace it, but again, if he, you know, if the man gives us 4 or 5 sacks, 6, 7, yo, I'm going to be excited with that. But looking at his production, you pretty much guaranteed to get at least 4 or 5 sacks out of him, so I can't be upset. I don't think that's going to be end-all be-all far as shoring up that defensive line again, but I feel like it was definitely a great start, you know, where we're not going to just get caught holding the bucket.
Yeah, yeah. What were your thoughts about the – because there were some people that were trying to complain about the compensation. You don't think it was a big deal for us to give up a 6-rounder for him, though, right?
It was just a 6. Come on, man. Like,
bruh,
come to
I'm telling
pass,
you,
like,
there's people complaining.
Willing and dealing with 6-round picks. And again, it's nothing against the play. Most of them dudes don't even pan out half the time. You know, we pray that they make it to training camp, healthy and whatnot. I mean, typically that's where you're going to take a flyer on somebody that you're intrigued on anyway in the later round. So to bring in somebody where, you know what, I know what I'm getting from them, again, that known variable thing, I don't know. With anybody in 6-round conversation, to somebody that you knew you're going to get about 4 to 5 sacks a year. Come on, man.
Yeah.
Come on. Be, I mean,
exactly.
Thrilled.
Exactly. Dude, there were so many people. I saw some people complaining, hey, man, you know, we could have took that move. We could have did this with that. And why are we bringing in Lawson? It's like, guy, listen, why are you complaining? We're a situation right now. We're in a situation where we've lost Carl Lawson. We need to bring somebody in to, you know, continue to help us within this rotation. Let's do it. Let's make a move, especially, again, when you look at his contract, it's not guaranteed. I think it's $900,000 this year,
exactly.
Then 8.9. If we feel like he's going to be a guy that we can keep around, okay, you pay a guy 8.9 next year, depending on they can possibly restructure that as well. And if things don't work out right and we don't like what he brings to the table, then we just move on from him. And we can clean our hands of him and have – exactly. No cap implication. We could just move on. It's not guaranteed. No big deal.
Exactly.
I like the move. I like the move. The same way.
And, you know, not jumping ahead, but, like, with the, okay, I mean, during the draft, Joe Douglas, Willen, and Dylan, that's not to say he won't take the fourth that he got from the Herndon trade and Willen deal that and trade back. I mean, we've watched Joe trade back pretty much every year in the draft, so to assume he's not going to trade back and get more conversation, I think you can't be looking at the man's trends. I mean, he's going to trade back. He's probably not, it's not guaranteed, but he's probably going to turn that fourth into something else.
Yeah, and that's where I wanted to go next with you. Yeah, exactly, and that's where I wanted to go next with you because I wanted to get your thoughts on that move. I was shocked that he even got a fourth rounder. To be completely honest, I mean, I was like, bro, what in the world? Like, how are you feeling about that, man?
Me personally, okay, I don't mean to go back to the draft, but I talked to you in a minute, Joe. So,
go
me, you know, when we went back, everybody was sitting here spazzing about, you know, the Vikings took us. I don't know if AVT is going to be worth all that. I feel like Joe kind of went back, dipped in that same pot, and to a certain extent made himself in the team whole. It's like, hey, you know what? I felt good with the deal at the time. You felt good with the deal at the time. And now, you know, hey, moving forward, you're going to scratch my back a little bit on this one. I think it was great conversation. I won't say we fleeced them, but, I mean, again, it was one of those times where, you know, being somebody who's doubted Joe Douglas in the past is, you know, hey, man, you got to show and tell. As far as being a GM and Willen and Dylan and getting compensation for what he has, Joe Douglas, like, A+. The man's dynamite with getting something for nothing.
Yeah. I was completely shocked, to be honest with you, because I didn't think that Chris Herndon was even going to make the roster. I know that everybody be looking at me crazy. I had the Herndon hive, you know, I had the Herndon hive on my back for a second. You know, I know they're crazy about me. You know, that truth hits you like a bus. I thought he was gone. I thought he was gone this year. Croft completely outperformed him. You know, Griffin, of course, we cut him, but we ended up bringing him back. Ended up signing him again. I thought he was, you know, he was at least productive. He had done nothing. And so I said, oh, Chris Herndon's out of here. And Joe Douglas was able to turn that into a fourth-round pick. And like you said as well, being able to use that to then propel us forward, getting some more young talent in here, whether it be via the draft or even maybe he uses that to trade for another player this coming offseason, right? A guy that he feels like is on another team right now but can help the New York Jets. Hey, it's all good. So I really like that move, man. And getting rid of Chris Herndon, a guy that probably was going to be gone anyway, and getting some solid capital back, I loved it. I absolutely loved it. Now, my next question for you, though, Mikal, because you're bringing the fire right now, man. As you look at this situation, the New York Jets released Bless Austin, man. How are you feeling about that situation? Because this cornerback situation now has a lot of question marks there. One more, you know, than it was already. How are you feeling about it, man?
I mean, personally, I didn't like Bless. I mean, you got to run with what you got, but as far as, like, did I want him to be my starting number one corner? No. Not at all. I never saw it. It was just one of those things. But, again, if that's what you got going into the season, that's who getting the reps, that's what it is. When he got cut, I just was kind of like, okay, what's going on? But, again, I understand the youth movement. And, again, it's like you said earlier, we really going to see if Saleh is that person that he claims to be where, you know what, my defensive coordinator, we got him in the wrong spot. Hey, we going to sit down. We going to recalibrate. We going to get these particular players to perform at this particular level. Again, just buying into what it is that we coaching and preaching, that coach-teach-train mentality come practice. So y'all are going to have to put up a shut up for is that, you know, coaching aspect and everybody being great.
Yeah, yeah. So my final question before I let you go, Mikal, because the lines is hot, man. We got to get there. When you look at this situation right now, the New York Jets actually ended up releasing a guy like releasing Morgan. You know, how are you feeling about Mike White being able to win that backup competition? Because this is a guy that not a lot of people were talking about, especially when we brought in, you know, Josh Johnson. So how do you feel about Mike White being the official backup quarterback of the New York Jets?
I mean, it may make me a little queasy, you know, because, you know, you still got that unproven situation. You got that unproven situation behind Zach, you know. And I know we don't want to go into the, you know, season on the what ifs. You know, what if Zach get hurt? You know, we all praying he make it the entire season. But, you know, hey, boys hit hard. You know, boys be getting knocked around. So you got to prepare for injuries. And the Mike White thing just leaves me, you know, again, I'm not saying we need that Mark Brunell. And I'm not saying, oh, hey, we making a playoff run, but I do believe in that, you know, the morale of a team. So, you know, if I don't truly believe in who's leading us into the game, if I don't really think we can win, I'm not saying I'm not going to play hard, but that's possibly going to be in the back of my mind where, hey, you know what, I'm giving 110%. The man next to me giving 110%. But, yo, he just trash.
Yeah.
And I don't see where – I don't believe in Mike White, and I do want that presence on the sideline. Just, you know, being able to have not necessarily that coaching things. I don't want to overcoach Zach, but just, hey, you know, like as teammate to teammate, you know, peer to peer, you know, this is what I'm saying to you out there. Just somebody to have a conversation with when he might not be comfortable having that conversation with a coach. So I would like that presence on the sideline, but, you know, hey, you can't have your cake and eat it too all the time. So, hey, you know, what can you do?
Yeah. Yeah. Listen, Mikal, I hear you. Well, I want to thank you for calling in. Next time I have a show, bro, I want to hear from you because we ain't talked in a little bit, man. And I really love hearing your takes on the New York Jets. You have a good night, all right, my
friend? You too, Joe. Be safe, man.
All right. You have a good one. Listen, Mikal be calling in with fire, man. You be calling in with fire. Listen, we're going to keep going to these lines again, 515-602-9639, 515-602-9639. Call in again. For those of you that would like to hit my snap or hit my my super chat, it is up there. Please, you know, any donation that you give to the program is greatly appreciated. If you do not want to hit the super chat but you would like to hit the Cash App's right there on there at the bottom of the screen as well. You know, anything you give is just greatly appreciated for those of you that would like to donate. It's all greatly appreciated. So, again, we're going to keep getting to these lines. 515-602-9639, 515-602-9639. Call in. Next, I'm going to my guy, Maxwell, man. Maxwell, salutes to you. I want to thank you for calling in tonight. Maxwell, man, give me your thoughts about this situation here at the New York Jets with the cornerback position. We just cut Bless Austin. Who do you think ends up being our number two corner at this point?
I don't know yet. Like, I feel like the thing is that with Bless Austin, I think he was a really good corner, but I think
he wasn't
that good. He wasn't that good.
You thought Bless Austin was really good?
Bless Austin wasn't that good. He was not that good this preseason. We should have signed Richard Sherman.
Mm. Oh, wow. Okay. So in your mind, is that door still open for us to maybe go after a free agent, maybe still go after Sherman, or who's the guy that you're looking at that you think we should bring in?
I think we should sign Richard Sherman to mentor younger corners. I feel like our corners are not going to be that good. I feel Richard Sherman's the most experienced. He's played in the NFL. He's been in the Super Bowl. He can teach our young corners how to play good in this league. And he has a hard work ethic.
Okay. Look, I respect that. I heard some Jets fans as well start to immediately bring up his name. You know, I know there's been a lot of things surrounding him and going on. But, hey, maybe he is the guy that we end up bringing in. Now, what are your thoughts about Shaq Lawson, us actually trading the sixth rounder for him? Because that was a big issue was, hey, could we get another guy in here to help in the pass rush? Well, here we bring in Lawson. He's a guy that can help us, you know, doing that. What are your thoughts on that move that Joe Douglas made?
I think it's a really good move. I think giving up a six is a good thing because six-round picks are not that useful. Like, most players that are picking the sixth round are cut. I think Shaq Lawson is a proven edge rusher. He's been really good. He was good last year in Miami. And I feel like Robert Saleh is a good head coach to bring out Lawson's talents. Even though, he was in that good old, this is the third AFC East team. I think he's a pretty good player, and he can be the best pass rusher we had in 15 years.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, you know, I don't know about, you know, we'll see what Lawson brings to the table. I think he's a guy that's going to really help within the rotation. I know the Dolphins, I think, only got like 4 sacks out of him, you know, before they, you know, moved on. So we'll see what happens going forward with him. But I think he's a guy that can definitely help when added within the rotation. I think a guy like John Franklin Myers, Huff, you know, all the other guys that we have that's going to be in that rotation as well. It's going to really be kind of a pass rushing thing by committee. But I greatly appreciate the move because let me tell you something. We needed some help there, especially after Lawson went down, you know, rupturing that Achilles. So my final question before I let you go, Maxwell, is when you look at this Jets backup quarterback situation, are you shocked that James Morgan was released?
I'm not shocked at all. I mean, besides that one miracle play, I feel like James Morgan's not that good. If you ask me, Cam Newton is cut. I think we should sign him. And to the go, we don't have that good back. But Mike White isn't that good. I think we could sign Cam Newton. I understand he got released from the Patriots, so he doesn't want to be a starter. But this is a possible way I think we should use Cam Newton. Use him as a Taysom Hill type weapon. Use him as a wide receiver. Use him as a running back. Use him as like a tight end. Look what the Saints are doing with Sean Payne with Taysom Hill. They're making like a Swiss Army knife. I think if we add Cam Newton, not as a backup, but like as a role player, like, oh, get the goal line work. I think that the Jets just signed Cam Newton as like a Swiss Army knife weapon in our offense.
You know, I don't know where Cam's going to end up. I don't know if the Jets will take him, but you know, I know we got Josh Johnson on our practice squad. You know, they tried to get Morgan back because they were hoping that he would be on the practice squad, but he decided to go to the Panthers, which, you know, we take the Panthers week one, so we'll see what happens. But, you know, with Josh Johnson on the practice squad, with Mike White as a backup, you know, I think we're solid, especially after what we saw from Mike White, because I think the biggest question mark with him was what exactly are we going to get out of him? And to watch him during this offseason, to be completely honest, I said this on a weekly basis throughout all the shows we were doing, I was impressed. I really, really was impressed with his aptitude out there. Very smart. He took what the defense gave him. He hit his checkdowns when he wanted to try to, you know, except maybe take it to the second level. He did that as well. It wasn't anything fancy, but it was enough to get the job done. So I really liked what he brought to the table. So, listen, Max, I got to get to the rest of these lines, man. Salute to you. I want to thank you for calling in. You have yourself a good night, all right?
Okay.
You have a good one. Listen, Maxwell bought some heat as well. He did. I respect that. I respect the heat that he's bringing. I know a lot of people want to go out and get, you know, I've heard fans kind of mention Cam Newton. I don't think he ends up here, man. I really, really don't. But we're going to keep getting to these lines again, 515-602-9639, 515-602-9639. Call in. We are taking all callers. We're getting to everybody. All right, when you call in, please be patient. I'm going to get to everybody. Don't call in and hang up, call in and hang up, call in and hang up. I have a queue. I can see you. You know, and the only thing I don't like, don't call into my show cursing, because I'll get you out of here. I'm talking about fast. Fashion, we got Adam Gaze. Get your ass out of here, Adam Gaze. You had to go, dude. You had to go. Can you imagine going into another season with that bum as your head coach? Get out of here. So we're going to get back to these lines again, 515-602-9639, 515-602-9639. Call in. Next, I'm going to my guy, Mike from Bayshore. Mike from Bayshore coming on to the line. Listen, this dude knows what time it is. He don't wear no damn collared shirts. Listen, Mike is a savage. Mike, listen. Listen to me, man.
My man. Go ahead. Go ahead, because I'm
listen,
on a chain
Mike.
Right now. I'm on a chain right now. Don't let me off this chain right now, my man. Don't let me off this chain because...
Mike, I already know. You on fire. Listen to me. Listen to me. We got to talk about this, okay? Give me your thoughts about the New York Jets trading.
Go ahead.
Trading for Shaq Lawson. What were your thoughts about that move, man?
Well, first of all, I wouldn't be golden. First of all, my man, Joe, how you doing? Let me tell you one thing. Ride or die. Let me tell you, Joe, I am so excited about Shaq Lawson coming here. You know, it is so good. It's so fresh. How you doing? But at the same time, man, we have to get off this. I mean, you threw up my game, bro. I'm sorry.
What? But, come on now. Come on. We talking. Listen, Shaq Lawson, we brought him in. This is a guy, you know what I'm saying, we needed a pass rush. We brought him into the rotation. He's a guy that can provide a little bit, of course. He's not going to completely replace Carl Lawson. That's not what he's going to do.
Well,
he's gonna come here,
dude, I worked out this morning. I worked out this morning, and I listened to the headbanger, EPMD.
Okay.
EPMD in the house. Let me tell you
That's
one
what
thing.
I'm
the headbanger. Mm-hmm. The headbanger. The headbanger. Let me tell you one thing. Huh? New York is in the house. Leave me alone. Here we go. Ride or die. Let me tell you something, Joe. When I bring it, I bring it. And you know what? Shaq Lawson's going to bring it. If anyone has a problem with it, I don't wear no damn sandals. I don't wear no flip-flops.
Nope.
If you have a problem,
nope.
Don't ever call me Ginger. Don't ever. Let me tell you something, Carlton. Meet me at exit 42. I'll steal your car. Tell your mom it's your problem. Well.
Let's go. Let's go.
Let's go.
Listen, my final question for you, Mike, because you bring in the heat right now.
Man,
give me your thoughts about us trading Chris Herndon. Give me your thoughts about us trading Chris Herndon.
In the house, Strong Island, if anyone has a problem, we're coming. No gas, no brakes. Do me a favor. FOH, get the F out of here.
Let's go. Listen, Mike, I want to thank you for calling in, man. You have
thank
yourself
you, Joe.
A good day.
We're gonna go.
Listen, Mike bring a lot of heat, man. He bring a lot of heat. I ain't going to lie to you. He's pumped up. He's fired up, and he's ready to go. You know what I'm saying? It's hard to contain that, man. He's bringing a lot of energy and a lot of fire. So we're going to keep getting to these lines. 515-602-9639, 515-602-9639. Call in. We are taking all callers. So we're going to keep getting to these lines. Next, I'm going to my guy, Steve, man. Steve, salutes to you. I want to thank you for calling in tonight. Steve, how are you feeling, man?
Well, first off, Joe, it's great to hear from you. But before we get into the Jets talk, I got to tell you, that last caller – oh, my God. I don't know what happened to him. I mean, I don't know if he was going nuts. Like what was going on
Steve, you can't contain Mike, man. He done told you he don't wear no damn sandals. He don't wear no collared shirts. That dude's a savage, man. He call in. He gets fired up. He's ready to go.
Hey.
You know what I'm saying?
Hey,
he ready to
go. Okay. Hey, Joe. All right, Joe. Let's get into this. Well, first off, I got to say, the last couple of days here in New Jersey have been rough. I guess you heard over the news, you know, we went through a thing with Hurricane Ida here, but everything is now all good. You know, I'm safe, man. Wanted to just let you know that first off, okay?
Awesome. Thank you. Hey, listen, man, I hope everybody's safe. Like you said, I know that there's a lot of things going on, man, but hope everybody's staying safe, and it's good to hear that you're doing well, Steve.
Yeah, okay. So now let's get into the things that have happened the last couple of days. So the first thing that happened was this past Sunday. We traded for Shaq Lawson for the Houston Texans, and we just gave up a sixth-round pick. That, to me, was a huge steal of a pick, okay? Now, I know a lot of people are saying, oh, Shaq Lawson is a replacement for Carl Lawson. Listen, you know, Shaq Lawson was a former first-round pick back in 2016. He was the 19th overall pick by the Buffalo Bills, 4 years in Buffalo, and then last year he was with Miami, and then he was supposed to play for Houston. But then I read the reports about why Lawson wanted to get traded. He wasn't really happy in Houston's system. I mean, listen, the Texans are a mess of an organization. They are right now one of the biggest messes in the NFL right now. And they're looking like towards going as one of the worst teams in football. So that was a huge, big trade win for us because it helped us hopefully with Shaq Lawson now with the team, it's going to go to our pass rusher. Now, Joe, here's your favorite part, the trade of Chris Herndon. Here was the thing. Throughout the preseason, as I was listening to reading reports and even watching the three preseason games, I got to tell you, Herndon's time I knew was going to be up, and I knew he wasn't going to make this roster. But then on the final day of cut rosters, on Tuesday, we get the news that Chris Herndon got traded to the Minnesota Vikings. We gave the Vikings him and a sixth-round pick, which we had a lot of cap space, and we just got a fourth-round pick back. Another phenomenal trade. People were on Twitter were now calling Joe Douglas the trade wizard, meaning that he likes to go out there and trade for a lot of draft picks for the future. And then, obviously, yeah. You know, the release of Blessaw said, listen, you know, Sid was my boy from Rutgers. You know, he was my boy from Rutgers. Listen, the thing was, he had some good moments when he was with the Jets. He did show a lot of promise his rookie season. Last year, unfortunately, he didn't really live up to par to those statuses of what he was supposed to show. But you know something? I wish Bless Austin the best of luck and whatever in his future. And then, of course, the thing that happened today with Jamison Crowder. You know, listen, these things unfortunately happen, but now it's time for, like, Elijah Moore or Keelan Cole to stand up now. So, Joe?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, listen, Steve, I hear you. And you know, just going back before we talk about Crowder, I wanted to go back to the talk about, you know, us cutting Bless Austin. And, again, there was a lot of question marks surrounding our corner position, right? Already, before we got rid of Bless Austin, it was okay. Who's the guy that is going to be able to fill the slot cornerback position? Well, now that has changed to, hey, not only who's going to fill the slot, but now who's going to be the number two. So in your mind, which one of our young corners is going to be able to step up and fill that number two spot? Is it Echols? Is it Pinnock? Are you a guy that's looking to see Isaiah Dunn be the guy to step in? I mean, who do you think is going to be beside Hall when it's all said and done and time to start the season?
You know, listen, Joe, we definitely – the corner position is definitely going to be the most interesting thing of the 2021 season. It's probably the youngest cornerback room that I have ever seen the New York Jets have. And listen, I understand that it's a big disadvantage for us this year, but this is a chance, you know, for these young corners, you know, Pinnock and Michael Carter and Echols. You know, Echols showed a lot of promise in the preseason. I think Echols will definitely be there. I think as of right now, Bryce Hall is going to be our number one corner, I think. I think Bryce Hall, I think, has a lot of potential to be great. You know, and the thing is, you know, because last year towards the end of the season, I was really impressed with him, especially the interception he had against the Rams in Week 15 last year, which was a phenomenal play. I got to say, you know, it's definitely going to be exciting to watch these young corners play this year. Definitely going to be exciting.
Yeah, it absolutely is. You know, and we're going to see because, again, I think a big thing that this is going to kind of expose or a big thing that is going to test is our coaching staff. Because now we're going to see, hey, can you know, Sulla and Albers, can those guys get these young corners ready on a weekly basis to go out there and play these opposing offenses that are going to be targeting them? You know, we play some pretty expensive offenses this year. Hell, we start off, you know, with Sam Darnold and the Panthers. Robbie Anderson is going to be out there. You don't think that Sam Darnold is going to come in and want to light us up? You don't think that Robbie is going to want to come in and light us up? Here's a guy that, you know, can definitely walk in with a chip on his shoulder and say, hey, I'm about to go against the team that let me walk and didn't feel like I was something, you know, to behold, something to really hold on to. They allowed me to walk into this Panther situation and sign, you know, here. And now I'm here, and they brought my boy Sam Darnold over here. We about to go for 400 yards, you know, a piece. We about to go crazy over here. They're going to try to absolutely target these young corners. And so we need to see, can Sulla make sure that these guys are put within the scheme, make sure that they're ready on a weekly basis to go up against a lot of the really solid talent that we're going to go up against, because they're going to try to find ways schematically to lock up with these corners, isolate them, and abuse them. Particularly, you know, again, because our slot position is a big question mark. We talk about Michael Carter II being a guy that can be in there. Who's going to be the guy that's going to lock up that slot corner? So it's going to be a big test. What are your thoughts about that, Steve, about our coaching staff being tested on a weekly basis as well when we talk about this cornerback situation?
Yeah, no, okay. So here's my thought about this. You know, I think, because let me tell you something right now. If we still had Adam Gase as our coach, okay, if we had Adam Gase as our coach and if he was in the situation with cornerbacks, with these young cornerbacks, he wouldn't get them ready. He would absolutely not get them ready. Robert Saleh, yeah, I think, is going to light a fire on these young corners. And as a former defensive coordinator, I think he will definitely bring some fire. Now, the defensive coordinator, Jeff Olbridge, he's going to have to get them ready too. And even the guy who is the defensive backs coach, he's got to get them ready too. You know, we got to step up a game. You know, we got to step up a game. I mean, listen, we're going to talk more about Carolina next week. And you know, when we go up against, you know, our former quarterback and Sam, you know, I'm not really focusing right now on getting ready for Carolina. I want to wait more until next week. But the only thing is, you know, I mean, listen, we're going up against, you know, our former quarterback and our former wide receiver who they seem to have a connection the first 2 years, you know, when Sam was with us, you know. But listen, Joe, right now, the biggest thing that we just have to worry about right now is taking one day at a time.
Yeah, I'm right there with you, Steve. You know, one day at a time. One day at a time, I hear you. But I'll tell you what, there's going to be a lot of teams that we face this year that are licking their chops now, especially, again, when you look at this situation. Because unless Joe Douglas is really going to – unless he goes out there and makes a move or makes a trade, we're going to be playing a lot of these young corners, and they're going to have to come in and make an impact immediately. So, listen, Steve, you brought some heat, man. But my final question before I let you go is, when you look at this situation now, some of the roster cuts that we made – One of the moves that we made that kind of surprised me was the cut of Vincent Smith and watching Jeff Smith make the active roster. Did that surprise you as well?
A little bit it did. But, you know, Jeff Smith had a really good preseason and showed a lot of this in camp this year. And he even showed some moments last year. You know, listen, I thought the Bless Austin cut really surprised me. But you know something? I think what Robert Saleh realizes that he wants to test out these young players. I mean, listen, going into the season, Joe, and this is the one thing that we do have a little bit of a disadvantage, but it is something that I do really like that the Jets have had, and it's something we haven't had in a very long time. We're going into this season with the youngest team in the NFL. Like, we have the youngest team.
Yeah, you're completely right. There's a lot of inexperience here, and we're going to be learning. You know, a lot of these, you know, players are going to be flying by the seat of their pants. So, listen, Steve, I want to thank you for calling in tonight. I got to get back to these lines. You have yourself a good night, all right, my friend?
Hey, good night, Joe. Go Jets. J-E-T-S, Jets, all gas, no break. Let's go.
Absolutely. Listen, Steve bringing the fire as usual. We're going to keep getting to these lines. Again, 515-602-9639, 515-602-9639. Call in. We are taking all callers. The phones are live. They are hot right now. We're going to get to everybody again. If you want to hit the super chat, please do. It's right there in that comment section. Go ahead and give whatever you can if you'd like to donate. If you don't want to hit the super chat, there's some people that just say, hey, I want to, you know, give to your Cash App, Joe. What are your thoughts about that? I say, hey, my Cash App's right at the bottom of the screen. Go ahead and give whatever you like. You know, anything you give to the platform is greatly appreciated. So we're going to keep getting to these lines. Next, I'm going to go to my guy, Shogun, man. Shogun's calling in. You know, he calls in with the fire as usual. Monty will come to you in a second. We see you. My security is very good now. So, Shogun, salutes to you. I want to thank you for calling in. Listen, I want to get straight to it right off the bat with you. Give me your thoughts about this New York Jets trade for Shaq Lawson, man. How are you feeling about it?
I love it. I like it. I think he could do great things. We just have to see. Give it time.
Yeah. You know, I thought the trade, the 2022 six-round pick, you know, for a guy that's going to be able to come in and help us within the rotation, I like the move. I really, really do, you know. low risk, you know, high reward. We'll see what happens going forward. And again, especially with the way that his contract is set up, if things don't work out, we can, you know, cut him loose, and there's no really, you know, no financial implications on the New York Jets. We cut out clean and everything's good. So what are your thoughts about the trade of Chris Herndon? We end up moving him a sixth rounder, getting a fourth rounder back. How'd you feel about that?
He robbed the Vikings. He sucks. He's horrible. Hi, Chris Herndon.
Yeah, man. You know, I hear you. I have my question marks about him as well. He was a guy, I looked at the situation. I was shocked that we even got that because I didn't think he was going to make the roster, man. I really, really didn't. And to get a fourth rounder back for him was huge. So I like the move. I like what Joe Douglas did there. It was a solid move for the Jets. So again, my final question before I let you go, man, is what are your thoughts about the cut of Bless Austin? And what is your outlook on this cornerback situation now that he's gone?
It's young, but Bless Austin was a one-year wonder. We could finally stop overhyping him every year. He can't cover. All he can do is tackle. That's it. But it's a young secondary. But in the future, I think it'll be great. All gas, no breaks, baby. Let's go. J-E-T-S. Jets.
Absolutely. Listen, salute to you, Shogun. I want to thank you for calling in. You have yourself a good night, my friend.
You too.
Listen, Shogun calling in with some heat. Everybody's talking about, you know, this move with Chris Herndon. Everybody's talking about it. Everybody's discussing it. I haven't heard a Jets fan be upset about that move yet. I really, really haven't, you know. And there's been a lot of stuff going on. We've made quite a bit of moves that have really benefited this football team. You know what I'm saying? And even some of the cuts that we made, we've seen, you know, some of these guys end up coming back and being in the practice squad. Vincent Smith, we ended up, you know, cutting him. He came back into the practice squad. Keaton Yeboah came back and went to the practice squad. Josh Adams, a guy that in the last game at least we saw a lot from. A lot of people were impressed with his output in the last game. But, again, that running back position is tough. My guy P. Ryan made it, though. A lot of people thought he was going to be gone. He's made it, but he's just injured right now, dealing with some stuff. But Adams came back and went to the practice squad. So there's a lot to talk about, man. We're going to keep on discussing that tonight. Again, 515-602-9639. 515-602-9639. Call in. We are taking all callers. Now, next, you already know what time it is, man.
Listen, here we go.
This guy, Monty, you know what I'm saying? My security used to be bad, but every time we see him now, my security is going off. Yeah,
break it.
Security, go ahead and let him in.
Hey, I'm chilling, man. I'm chilling. I'm chilling, man. I'm out with the family, you know. We grilling in the backyard, man. You know, I had to holler at you real quick, man.
Okay.
We good.
Listen,
we good, Joe. I mean, you know where I stand. You know, I think. We got it. We have it bookmarked. Two wins for the Jets, man. And the more cuts, the more trades. It's looking like, you know, that prediction is going to be spot on, sir.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll see, you know, what happens going forward. But salute to you, Monty. I want to thank you for calling in. My security alerted me.
Most definitely.
So I already knew what time it is. All right. So I want to get
most
I want to really top it up with you because, again, we all know, you know your Jets. We may not always agree with all of your opinions, but you definitely know your Jets. Give me your thoughts about this situation 100%. with the New York Jets trading for Shaq Lawson. How are you feeling about that, man?
I think it's a solid trade. You know, the Jets needed pass rush after Vinny Curry was out for the season and Carl Lawson injured himself. So I think it's a solid trade. I don't think we're forcing Shaq Lawson to kind of go into that number one pass rushing option, in which he's just not. He hasn't proven to be a real pass rush specialist or elite pass rush specialist. He's only going to give you maybe 4 or 5 sacks a season. I mean, if you're okay with that 4 or 6 round pick, then, you know, that's fine. But, you know, I wish we could just, you know, put people in their correct positions. You know, I think, you know, Shaq Lawson is a guy who, you know, he can be a solid rotational player, but we're forcing him to start. And, you know, it's just going to make us upset when we're just seeing the Jets' defensive line not getting any type of pressure. You know, it's not his fault. You know, it's just the team is just, they're not built correctly. if that makes sense.
Mm. No, look, I hear you. And again, we've been discussing this pass rush ad nauseum ever since we lost Carl Lawson, to that ruptured Achilles, and we were saying, man, what are we going to do? I think the New York Jets will be able to generate some pressure, but not as much as, you know, we would have had with Lawson. I think, honestly, maybe the defense is going to change a bit. I think we'll see some blitzes more than maybe we would have if Lawson was on the field, and I think we'll see an adjustment in scheme simply because that's what Sela does. That's what I watched him do with the Niners.
Who are we going to blitz with, Joe? What linebacker are we going to blitz with? Mosley?
Listen, to be completely honest, we might see some of that stuff. We might see a Mosley flying around, right?
He's not that type of player, though, Joe. You force you're forcing Mosley into being something that he's not. He's not a linebacker, pass rusher. He's a field general.
No, I know that. What I'm saying is that I think you're gonna see that thrown in there, right? We're gonna see some middle linebacker blitzes where we just send Mosley. I think we're gonna have to make those type of adjustments. But you might see again a Hamza Nasruddin, a guy sent at you from the outside. You might see Sherwood be coming from the outside again. You know, we're gonna see things like that. You're gonna have to because of the things that we suffered, the injuries that we suffered. Again, Gerard Davis goes down. You have to make the adjustments, or you're gonna die.
Yeah.
That's what's going to happen.
And, Joe,
and so if we don't start doing those things, and go ahead.
Oh, I saw on Twitter, man, that they were, and this is what, you know, I reached out to you on Twitter, that they were looking to sign Reuben Foster, or looking to work him out. And I was just like, you know, that's kind of odd. Like, why would we sign Reuben Foster? You know, all I hear from Joe Douglas and this whole coaching staff is that they want high character guys, and I think he has a couple of domestic violence charges on his record. So I'm thinking to myself, wow, we're really this desperate on defense where we're willing to compromise the integrity of our team to actually bring in talent. And it's just, you know, Joe, I hate calling you and just being this negative on the Jets. But, man, I just know, you know, everybody's optimistic. That's when everybody gets optimistic at the beginning of the season. Yeah. You know, but when it gets to week six, week seven, week eight, you know, and we just getting our head bust every single week, you know, then that's when you see, like, the depressed Jets fans, man.
Well, here's
you know,
the deal.
Like, I
understand what you're saying, Monty. I get it. Like, we talk about high character guys, but at the same time, we've seen that the NFL is a place where guys get second chances, especially if you're talented enough, right? And I'm not excusing the things that he's done in the past. We all know, you know, Reuben Foster's past and the domestic violence.
Right.
Stuff. But if you're good enough, or if you can help a football team, we've seen you get a second chance. Like, for instance, right? We've seen a guy like Dante Stallworth get a second chance, right? And we all know what he did, and we all know the situation that he was in, right? And I can continue to go on with other players that have been able to get a second chance. So I think that's what they're doing here. And again, when you're looking
at
the situation,
Reuben Foster got four or five chances, though.
Yeah. But again,
he was supposed to be a top 10 pick.
Monty, I don't want to bring up the other guys, but you know, there's other guys in this league that have gotten those 4 and 5 chances. Greg Hardy, there's definitely other guys that have gotten a million chances, right? We've seen so many guys, and not just with that. There are other things, you know, off-the-field things as well. We've seen guys get a lot of second, third, and fourth chances with drugs and all those things, you know, that have gone in. So I understand, you know, your take on that, but when you look at the situation where the New York Jets are, I think that Joe Douglas is just trying his best to find a fit, especially with the injuries that we suffered, to continue to better this football team and better this defense.
If you had to grade Joe Douglas, what would you give him?
Mm-hmm.
What would you give him? What grade
as a whole, as a general manager so far?
As a whole, as a general manager.
Right now.
I would have to give him an F.
You would have to, why would you give him an F?
He's failing miserably, Joe.
An F,
like he,
Monty.
Why?
Monty.
He's smoking crack. Stop.
when you look at this roster, he's been here 4 years. He's been here 4 years, basically. Yeah. He came in middle of the fourth, middle of his first year. He's been here 4 years, correct? And this is the roster.
Hold on. Before you say that, Monty, because you know we gonna go back and forth. We gonna go. This is on a weekly basis.
Okay.
You call in here and say things. I'm just telling you right now.
Here we go.
So here's the deal. Before you start to make your argument on that case of giving him an F, you also need to bring some context to the situation. Yes, he's been here, you know, those years, but the first year that he got here, he did not have a free agency and he didn't have a draft. He was just here because they hired him after, right? Maccagnan was given that chance. They hired him after that. So we're going to start the conversation with that. Continue on with your point because I want to hear it. Because I want to hear this F talk that you're giving him. Go ahead.
Okay, so in the NFL, right? So so we hands down have the worst roster, right? I've seen GMs come into bad situations.
You think we have the worst roster in the NFL?
Yes. Who's worse than us?
You think we're worse than the Houston Texans?
Yes. They have way more talent than us. Are you serious?
Oh, okay. All right, go ahead.
They have way more talent. I mean, if you want to go running back, you want to go receiver. They have a actual number one receiver. You know, quarterback.
Okay.
You know, that's a toss up. Their offensive line is better than
that's
ours.
That's not a toss up. He's not going to play for them. Deshaun Watson is not going to play for the Houston Texans. More likely, he's
no.
Never
I'm just
play
saying.
For
yeah, but if Deshaun Watson is playing,
him, we also know we also have heard about the other stuff. You know, off the field. I'm not going to talk about that either. But there's a lot going on. More than likely, he's never going to play for them again. So even if you talk about the quarterback situation, you might as well delete him off the roster. He's more than likely at this point, right? Well, what is this, September 3rd? September 3rd, mm-hmm. It's somewhere around 8 p.m. Eastern, right? More than likely, he's never going to play for them again. So continue on.
Okay.
Continue on. I'm not trying to interrupt
you.
You can go down
offensive line. Whose offensive line is better? Ours are the Jets. I bet are they.
Dude, we have a
– Whose roster?
I think our offensive line is better. When you look, have you seen our offensive line? Listen, Mekhi Becton is an all-pro left tackle, and he should have made the Pro Bowl.
We have
a hole at right guard, but bro, our offensive line is not trash.
Stop it. Laramie Tunsil is a legit all-pro player. It's not like a speculation.
He's a legit all-pro player.
Yeah, he's legit.
Yeah, I'm not talking about
you know, Mekhi Becton, who we think may grow into that. You know, I don't know if he wasn't even first team.
You don't think Mekhi Becton is an all-pro left tackle?
No, I don't.
Oh my God!
I don't.
Go ahead, Mike.
Like, what would show you? What would show you? Like Joe. Okay, listen to me.
Mekhi Becton is an all-pro left tackle. This is crazy.
Has he proved it?
Yes.
Okay, because you're talking as a Jets fan. If I'm looking at the Jets, man, you know, that's a good pick. Like Mekhi Becton is a solid pick. But when I look at the totality of the league, dude, he wasn't even the second best lineman in the draft. He wasn't.
Wow.
He wasn't even the first team.
Wow.
He wasn't even first team all rookie.
Monty.
So how are you gonna tell me he's an all pro? He's an all pro talent when he's not even the best lineman in his rookie class. Are you serious?
Monty,
that doesn't make sense.
You told us you was grilling. I know you had a couple, you know, a couple drinks out there, right? A couple of adult beverages, I would guess. And I think that's impairing your judgment right now. And I think that's impairing your argument. Let me tell you exactly. Let me tell, because I love going back and forth with you, Monty. All right,
okay.
You know I got
okay.
love for you. We go at it all the time. Here's the deal.
Definitely, all love, Joe.
It's all love. When you sit here and you tell me things like Mekhi Becton is not an All Pro left tackle, and I'm only saying that because I'm a Jets fan. First off, I say a lot of things that are anti-Jets. You remember I was the guy that literally said we should trade Jamal Adams, and then when people said why, I said it because everybody was saying, well, he's the best safety in football, and I literally told people that he wasn't. And I talked about how Derwin James and Eddie Jackson, all those guys are better than him. I don't wear green goggles. I watch football. I was the first guy getting on here saying, hey, listen, Sulla, the 49ers, I watched the Niners. He's going to be good. He can adjust his scheme. I was one of the first guys doing it. So I'm not saying that because I wear green goggles. I'm saying that because I watch Mekhi Becton, just like I watch other left. Is Laremy Tunsil good? Yeah, he's good. But you're acting like our offensive line doesn't have an all-pro left tackle when we do. He's an all-pro left tackle.
Did he make all-pro last year, sir?
Good God. He was robbed of the Pro Bowl as well, sir. I'm telling you, Mekhi Becton.
He was first-team all-rookie.
Oh,
he was not
Lord.
Robbed. What are you talking about?
Good Lord.
Look it up, Joe.
If you're
he wasn't your first-team all-rookie.
Sir, if you're telling me that Mekhi Becton is not one of the top tackles in the league, you're crazy. You're crazy.
He's not.
But even when
he's not.
When you look, oh, goodness gracious. So who exactly
like,
is better?
I mean, are you talking
so
about
– are
you Mekhi
Becton? That's your, no,
Tristan
I'm not speculating.
Is better
you
than Mekhi Becton.
The guy,
Jedrick Willis is better than Mekhi Becton. Like, are you
okay.
serious?
Okay. You listen, you're saying this like, look, we got Mekhi Becton, like I said, right? My argument is he's
okay.
a great left
okay.
tackle. In my mind, he's an all-pro left tackle. He's probably going to – he's definitely going to make the Pro Bowl this year, and you're going to see him go on to be an all-pro left tackle. Yes, the Houston Texans have Laremy Tunsil, question marks after that, right? We got Connor McGovern, who's a solid center. Our left guard is Elijah Vera Tucker, who is going to be a monster, right? We got Morgan Moses at right tackle. Yes, we're better than the Texans. Yes, we're better. We have a better roster than them. We do. We have a better roster than them. Their number one
okay.
is Brandon Cooks. Brandon Cooks is a solid wide receiver. But when you look at our wide receiver core, our wide receiver core is beastly. Davis,
none of our receivers are better than Brandon Cooks, sir. None of them.
Come on, sir.
Corey
oh
Davis,
God.
How many 1,000-yard
so
season have Corey
he's
Davis
trash
had?
Too.
How many? I'm asking you a question. How many 1,000-yard receivers do we have on this team?
He's never had 1,000 yards, no. Corey Davis has never had
1,000 okay. yards. Okay. So Brandon Cooks had like
okay.
5,000-yard season.
Okay. Okay. But
so,
again, when you
that's
look,
what I'm saying.
When you look at Corey Davis, but it's not – hold on a second. But when we're talking about Corey Davis and you're talking about, oh, he's never had 1,000 yards, it's not like he hasn't been super close. Because I think like – what is it, last year he had like 980-something yards? He's like 20 yards away. And, again, he was in a run-first
okay.
scheme with the Titans. This guy is one of the better wide receivers in the league. Stop talking about him like he's trash.
He's a number two to number three talent.
Oh my
he
God.
Was drafted in the top. He was drafted as a top ten receiver for the Titans.
All right.
And what did the Titans do? They let him walk. You know why? Because they got a legit number one down there in A.J. Brown. So his levels
okay.
is levels to being a good receiver. He's just not on that level. He's decent. He's
okay.
a second,
okay.
third guy. He's not the guy.
Okay.
He's not a guy we
but
got to sit out there on Sundays
but
and
Cooks
just know, oh, yeah, he's going to give you 100 yards and a touchdown every single week. He's not that guy.
Even though Cooks is always injured, Cooks is better than him. Even though he's a guy that can't stay on the field, he's better than him. And the Houston Texans have a better roster.
Yes.
Continue on and tell me why you're giving Joe Douglas an F. Because this argument, you've had a lot of cold drinks out there during the grill. Go ahead.
Come on, Joe. Don't insult the man now. Don't insult the man.
I'm just saying.
Don't
I'm
go and insult
that, you know,
the
that,
man. Okay.
There's a lot
well,
of ice
I,
in that
I
cooler.
Just, I just,
that's all I'm saying.
Well,
a lot
just,
of ice
first
in that
off,
cooler, and it's keeping a lot of things cool. Go ahead.
All right. So I can explain it to you. So I just feel like just even with the Adam Gase situation where, you know, they
uh-huh.
were buddy-buddy, and I feel like Joe Douglas just let him stay a year too late.
Mm-hmm.
I think he should have been fired after the first season.
Yeah.
I think a guy like Jamal Adams, like if you're going to trade him, I thought you should have traded him in the offseason. And you could have got CeeDee Lamb. You could have traded him for CeeDee Lamb and maybe another late draft pick. But you wait a whole season and you just let, you know, Jamal Adams just mope and pout the whole season. And you get two first rounds. Granted, yes, that's two first rounds. But you get two
first
rounds from the Seattle Seahawks. See, I mean, it's okay.
How
so let me ask
that?
You this, Joe. Because those are late. Those are like two second round picks, Joe. Like let's keep it real. Like they're a first round pick, but
so,
they're in the mid They're in the mid 20s. We had to use another one of our picks to just move up and get Tucker.
Monty, those picks were in the 20s, right? That's in the first round. That is not the second round, okay? That's the first round. That's number one.
Yes.
Number two, he got two first. Hold on. He got two. That's why when we have these discussions, well, I immediately bring up, you need to bring up the context of the situation. First off,
okay,
when he traded Jamal Adams, it was probably at the lowest that he could trade him, right? This was after Jamal Adams literally came out, said he would never play for the Jets. He had all those issues, right? He was announcing to people off, you know, random fans telling him he was trying to be a Cowboy. All those things were going on. And Joe Douglas was still able to get two first-rounders, and he got some other picks as well, some other mid-round picks, for a safety that was a complete malcontent. And by the way, he's a box safety. He can't cover a bed with a damn bed sheet. And he got two first-round picks for a safety. One of the most devalued positions in the entire NFL. He got
but
rid of Adam
you're just regurgitating what
Adam.
Everybody else I'm says about the position. Yes, you are.
You
like having a box you're a box. You're a box safety.
This is
you
what
know
I'm
what?
Talking about,
Monty.
That don't make
who,
no sense.
Who is in our division?
You
who is in our division right now?
You don't need great safeties to listen. Safety is not a position of impact. I'm not regurgitating. I was the guy that told people that safety is not a position of impact. It's not. Okay.
Why isn't it?
If he was
Why
a pass
isn't
rusher,
it?
Hold on. Because they don't affect the game the same way as a pass rusher or a wide receiver.
Wait. So when Jamal Adams lines
corner,
up on the field, do you have to account for Jamal Adams? When he lines up, do you think they account for him?
No.
Oh,
no.
Okay.
Because
okay.
You want to know why?
We're done here.
Because you don't understand it. He's not Joey Bosa. That's the problem, Monty. And we
he just literally set a record for sacks for a defensive back.
Uh-huh, and they were one of the worst defenses in the league. Why? Because he's not a pass rusher. You have
no,
to
when he
for
was
that.
On
that's
the
why,
field.
That, when you immediately kept
yo,
bringing that up,
he
Monty,
was what, they were one of the best
this,
defenses when he was
you.
Playing.
Listen, he sucks in coverage. We watched Julian Edelman last year cook him. Like
Julian Edelman
right
like he's
now.
A scrub. Like Julian Edelman like he's a scrub. Like you haven't seen Julian Edelman cook guys
Julian
in the
Edelman,
Super Bowl.
Julian Edelman was 40. He was 40 when he did that. That guy was old. He was getting destroyed in coverage. He was one of the worst safeties in the league in coverage last year. He's a safety, not a pass rusher. Jamal Adams plays safety, not defensive end. That's why I keep telling you, you keep talking about this like he's a Bosa. He's not Joey Bosa, okay? He's not a pass rusher. They don't play positions of impact. When you look at good teams, right, they have the positions of impact locked in. That's why people build defenses around pass rushers and not safeties. That's why we were losing all last year. What, he set the record with us, right? He had
six or seven sacks. Hold on.
The last
so we were top
year,
10
on,
defense.
On.
We
the
were top
year,
10 defense with Jamal,
oh
and then
God.
We were the
uh-huh.
worst defense without Jamal.
And we were getting our asses handed to us on a weekly basis, right? We lost to the Dolphins twice. He was on the field. We got smoked. We lost to the Bengals that year. He was on the
we
field.
Did not
we got
get,
smoked.
Was that offensively?
We were getting crushed.
Was that offensively
sir,
we
sir,
got smoked?
Sir.
Or
sir,
defensively?
Sir. Monty, you sit here and continuously defend Jamal Adams. You're sitting here acting like the guy is a pass rusher or he was at a position that mattered and he didn't. We were dying. And if you don't understand that, this is the reason why the Jets are bad. I kept telling this. This is a ridiculous argument. It's ridiculous.
Well,
safeties
we
don't
were
matter.
Awful last
they
year without them.
Oh, my God.
So Joe, man, Joe, look.
Listen,
all
listen,
I do,
Monty,
all I do,
you're not
all,
doing
all
a good
I do,
job.
All I do is
you're not
facts,
doing a good
man.
Job of telling us why Joe Douglas is getting an F. You're not doing a good job. So far, your argument
okay,
is not really
what about Robbie
argument.
Anderson? What about Robbie Anderson? What about Robbie Anderson?
Okay.
How'd that go?
I might give you that.
Robbie Anderson?
That's the only
yeah,
thing I might
that,
give.
That was
maybe.
A horrible decision. We need receivers.
Maybe.
We need receivers. And what does he do? Yeah. He doesn't okay. sign Robbie Anderson. Okay? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't have a problem. I don't have a problem with trading
so how,
Jamal Adams.
Can you explain to me how that means you give Joe Douglas an F? How does that mean
because
that?
He hasn't improved.
Because the same
he has
guy
not
that
improved the roster. He has not improved
how is he
the
not?
Roster.
Sir, he drafted Mekhi Becton. He's the guy that did that. He drafted Mekhi Becton. You were excited about that?
He would have drafted Andrew Thomas
oh
if he was available.
How do you
he would have drafted
that?
Andrew Thomas if he was available.
you don't. You don't. You don't know that.
I don't. I don't. I don't. I don't. I. You know what? I don't. You know, I don't. We did draft
Mekhi
Becton. Was it, so was Mekhi Becton better than Tristan Wirfs?
Listen, he took Mekhi Becton, Monty.
Okay.
That's what it is.
Okay,
he
that's
took
cool.
Mekhi. You can keep
that's...
doing this speculation stuff and loving Jamal Adams. I get it.
I'm not,
but you're,
I'm not trying.
You're not
to,
doing
Joe.
A good job. You're not doing
Joe,
a good
Joe,
job.
Joe, I'm just – what I'm doing, Joe, is I'm talking – all I'm doing is talking facts. You talk about Mekhi Becton
Are
being
you?
An all-pro all-pro player. He's not an all-pro
yes.
player. That's a fact. He's not
yeah.
a Pro Bowl player. That's a fact. He's not a first-team
right.
all-rookie. That's a fact, Joe. That's
you're
all
right.
I deal
you're
with.
You're right.
So you can
so
say
that's
all
you
pro
do
stuff
with?
That
that's
you
not
want,
all
but he's
you
just
do with. That's all
I mean,
you do.
I mean,
now,
you
not
mean,
if you're telling
I mean,
me the safeties matter. Not if you're telling me the safety. You act like Jamal is.
I think
Jamal
I think a versatile. I think a versatile.
That's not a fact.
I think a versatile safety. I think a versatile safety who can rush a passer.
How is he versatile?
Who,
he can't cover. That's not versatile.
Okay, Joe. So,
if all
so Joe,
do
Joe, Joe,
flip,
Joe.
But you can't
Joe,
cover. That's not versatile.
Joe, can you hear me out? Just real quick, real quick. So
I'm listening.
You know, besides last year, and I agree. Like, his coverage ability was horrible last year. But those 3 years that we had him, he was the top five at his position. Coverage grades. Go look it up. PFF. You can
All
look
right.
it up. It's right there. If you don't believe
okay,
me,
Monty.
It's right there. Okay? And that's all,
right.
that's all I have
okay,
to say.
Monty. Listen,
that's all I have to say.
Monty, I got to go. I got to let you go because the right. lines are hot. We're going to argue next week, too, when you call in. You keep calling in with your Jamal takes. I can't stand them. You giving Joe Douglas an
yeah,
F? I,
listen,
I can't stand what that
saying,
is.
But you say, but you say Marcus May is better than Jamal. Where?
He is.
What? Okay.
Have you ever watched a safety
Where?
Play safety?
Yeah, I see.
Have
I see Marcus May
safety play safety.
Yes.
I'm
they're two totally
so
different
have,
positions. But when you're asking one dude to play 30 yards off the ball and the other one to actually play football. When Marcus May was actually play football, he was nowhere near the same player. And,
really?
And you know what Greg Williams did? He said, "You know what, kid?
Uh-huh.
You're not cutting it. You're not Jamal. We're just gonna play you 30 yards off the ball."
Wow. All right. Well, I'll tell you what. You like PFF? You look at the grades that they gave Marcus May last year versus the grades that they gave Jamal Adams. Who was higher?
Yeah, last year. Last year, I agree. Last year.
Okay.
All right.
You
know, I think
you.
All right, Marcus
listen,
May.
Monty.
Yeah.
All right,
I agree.
I gotta get to these lines. You have
go
yourself
ahead,
a good
ahead.
Night. I'll hear
you
from
too,
you next
you
week
too.
As
hey,
usual. All right, Monty.
Yo, it's all love, baby. It's all love.
It's all love. You have a
all
good
right.
one, Monty.
I'll talk to you.
Listen, that's Monty. Everybody knows the savages are going off in the chat. Monty calling and talking. I don't like to argue, but Monty makes me argue. He does. He makes me argue when he says these crazy things like Joe Douglas deserves an F. That's insanity. Then you trying to tell me, I got to argue with Monty every time. So 515-602-9639, 515-602-9639, call in. Apparently, right, apparently safeties are the same as pass rushers. That's what's happening around here.
You're
apparently,
smoking
you know?
Crack. Stop.
All right. So there's nothing Joe Douglas can do. He's a fraud. He deserves an F. According to Monty. Everyone, we'll hear from Monty later on next week as well. I have nothing but love for Monty. He's my guy. I respect him. We argue all the time, but Monty be tripping. So we're going to keep getting to these lines again, 515-602-9639, 515-602-9639. Call in. Also, if you're watching, please subscribe if you have not subscribed. You want to hear me argue more with Monty and these nonsensical takes, please subscribe if you want to hear that. Also, please give the stream a thumbs up if you think that pass rushers matter more than safety. That's all I'm saying. And turn on that notification bell so when I argue with Monty, you'll be in the know. All right? And if you want to hit the super chat, please do. If you want to hit my Cash App, please do. Anything you give to the platform is greatly appreciated. We're getting to the next caller. I think I'm going to my guy from North Carolina. Salutes. I cannot wait to talk to him. The Jets fan from North Carolina. He knows his stuff. We are coming off of a full-blown argument with Monty. I know you've heard him before. Listen, first and foremost, I want to thank you for calling in, my guy. Give me your thoughts about this situation with the New York Jets and the trade that they've made with Chris Herndon.
I think it was long overdue. I tried to give him the benefit of the doubt of one more year, you know, mm-hmm. under a new regime, new head coach, new offensive coordinator. But I began to discover when I hear the reports coming out of camp, we still have the same old issues, drops, which to me is a lack of concentration. You know what I'm saying? I think it's just a lack of desire, a lack of a sense of urgency. This was supposed to be the camp where he's supposed to be like a bat out of hell. I mean, running his routes, making his breaks with linebackers couldn't cover him. I mean, in a dead sprint with a sense of urgency, and he never showed us that. He needed to have been cut. Mm-hmm. He should have been cut last year because he performed so poorly. It was an embarrassment to himself and the organization. Yeah. But I tried to give him a chance. I think Joe Douglas is a good man, a good GM. He tried to give him a chance, too. He said, let's see what he do this year. You know what I'm saying? New head coach, coordinator, just a change in the environment. Yeah, maybe we can light a spark under this kid and get this young man going. And sadly, disappointingly, it never happened. That's the missing piece to this offense. We don't have a young Dustin Keller. Now, you imagine when he first came out of college, if we had him in this offense. This offense would really, really be hard to stop if we had a tight end with the athletic skill set of a Dustin Keller. People don't realize the kind of damage a tight end, an athletic tight end can do because they're big.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? You can't just bump into him and knock him on the ground, and you can't rob a little skinny wide receiver. You know, they're tough to bring down, and they can run and separate from linebackers. That's the problem. That's a matchup problem. That's the one piece with us that's missing. I'm hoping eventually that we add that piece. I was telling a guy who was a good buddy of mine on the bus. I told him about the Jets. He loves talking with me because, you know, I throw some interesting analysis. I told him, and I mean this, by 2023, the Jets will be playing for the Super Bowl. People think I'm crazy, but no, I'm not.
Okay.
Zach Wilson, if he is everything from what I've seen of him and everything everybody's saying he is, the Jets will be strong enough to take on the Buffalo Bills and take the AFC East, I think, by 2023, based on current projections. Now, looking at what Joe Douglas has done, I want to piggyback a little bit, if you don't mind, off that last caller. He's insane.
Oh, go ahead.
Mekhi Becton, Mekhi Becton is the prototype of what you're looking for in tackles. Now, you've seen you tackle since they've gotten 300 pounds. Once upon a time in the 80s, you know, the Redskins broke the mold with Big Joe Jacoby and some of those guys. They were monsters for their time. But guys that are 6 foot 4, 315 pounds are going to be considered undersized. Becton is the prototype with teams that's going to be looking for tackles that are 6 foot 8, 6 foot 9, almost 400 pounds. They're going to be looking for monsters. Yes. Now, there's this cat named Evan Neal that's getting ready to come out next year. He's like Becton. He's 6 foot 8 pounds. He was, you know, his sophomore year. Now he's down to 360. You know, he's going to try to lose a little bit of weight. That's the prototype Becton is. Teams going to be looking for guys like Mekhi Becton. You know what I'm saying? Because he's so freakish and so, you know, scary and physically imposing. You rarely see that. Now, obviously, back in the day, you remember Jonathan Ogden? The Baltimore Ravens used to have a tackle like that named Jonathan Ogden, who was a monster, too, on Becton, you know, on his level. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I strongly disagree with that caller. And also about Joe Douglas overall and the Jamal Adams trade. That trade had to take place. That trade is very important to the rebuilding of this franchise. Getting all those extra picks is huge. I've been an NFL fan for over 40 years. I'm a Jets fan. I'm from Brooklyn, New York. This is a huge trade. Do you remember the Dallas Cowboys? They traded Herschel Walker for what? A bunch of first-round picks, second-round picks, third. Guess what? They flipped that into Troy Aikman, Michael Irvin, Emmitt Smith, and they made history. The Jets are going to do the same thing, but guess what? They got the Mekhi Becktons, Vera Tuckers, Elijah Moore, Zach Wilson. Watch this next year. They're going to be looking at Kayvon Thibodeau. This is the guy I think can replace Carl Lawson. I think you have to look at the larger picture here in terms of what the Jets are doing. Joe Douglas is doing everything right. But what it is, in some fans' mind, they think, you know, we got to explode and take over the league this year. No. We're too young for that. Our quarterback is too inexperienced for that. And as much as I like Saleh going to, you know, go through a little learning himself. You know, even though, he's a highly regarded assistant. Everybody likes him. But he's going to have to, you know, make some adjustments, too. Year to year, looking at his first year, he's going to be studying his tape. He's going to be analyzing his own strengths and weaknesses and having to make some adjustments from when he was assistant coach and then being a head coach. That's a big leap. That's a big transition. And when you have a first-year head coach,
a rookie QB, and a team which is arguably the youngest in the NFL. I mean, what can be expected of us? If we win six games or seven games, we should be extremely happy. And then going into next year, we have all that salary cap flexibility. I heard we'll be among one of the higher teams in salary cap space. And then we have
those first-round
picks, which I believe should be invested in edge rushers. Looking at what happened to Carl Lawson, that situation is like a nightmare to me. We need to get some more edge rushers in here. We can take the first round, go on and take Kayvon Thibodeau. God forbid somehow he's there. You know Joe Douglas is going to run to that podium, and Sala going to get in his ear and say, I've got to have this guy. And Joe Douglas is going to give it to him. You know what I'm saying?
Let's just take his fire. Give him a hand. Give him a hand. I had to give that take a hint. Look, and for the you know, just to complete, you know, honestly, I got love for Monty. And Monty knows that. Me and Monty go back and forth all the time. He is out of his mind.
I see that.
He's out of his mind.
Oh, yeah. But what it is, he just doesn't realize some of the talent that the Jets have. The Jets some top-tier talent. The only problem with them is they don't have enough Mekhi Becton's. They don't have enough Quentin Williams.
No.
They don't have enough Marcus Mays. That's what's wrong with them.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have enough of that caliber of player for them to ascend and be one of the better teams in the league. But guess what? They got two first-round picks next year, two second-round picks next year, a third-round pick, and two fourth-round picks. That is perfect. And with the salary cap flexibility they're going to have, let me tell you something. If Sala can just demonstrate that he can get this team to play with some spirit and energy, my time being a Jet fan, when I've seen the Jets play with spirit and energy, they are dangerous, man. We've seen this before under Rex Ryan. You remember how aggressive the Jets were? Jets were nasty.
Yep.
Under Rex Ryan now. They were kind of scary. Even when they were underdogs, they were a team not to be taken lightly. They were quite formidable, even though some of the style of play would be considered outmoded, you know, ground and pound when the league, you know, was kind of transitioning into a passing league with Tom Brady and Peyton Manning. But nonetheless, when they were playing hard-nosed football, the Jets were always in the mix. Early 80s with Richard Todd, when they had Freeman McNeil, they ran the ball. Guess what? They entered the AFC Championship game, one game away against the Miami Dolphins. Same thing happened again with Curtis Martin. Same thing happened again with Thomas Jones. The formula is there. We just have to stick with that formula, build our offensive line. They're doing it right by building this team in the trenches. We got Becton. We got Vera Tucker. To me, we need a guard. I think they'll have a chance to address that. And I don't think they necessarily have to go for that in the first round. I think the second round is a nice sweet spot to get a solid starting caliber guard. What do you think?
I'm right there with you. And this is why, and again, I go back and forth with Monty about this all the time. Exactly everything that you talked about was exactly why I said we should trade Jamal Adams. I was saying, hey, listen, we got to get rid of this guy. You cannot sign him to a big-time contract, which I talked about the cap implications of that going forward, the same way that you beautifully explained it today, and also the ability for us to get more talent to build around the team and not just worry about this one non-impact position trying to hold on to this guy at a non-impact position that was not affecting us when we needed, more Mekhi Becton's.
Yeah.
We needed more, you know, better wide receivers. We needed better corners. We needed all of those things. Better pass rushers. Like you said, look at the capital
that we
got back. It puts us in a position to be able to trade up for a guy like Thibodeau. Say we're a couple picks away
and we know
he's going to be taken. We have the capital in our back pocket to make it a realization to get a young pass rusher in here for us to grow with for years to come. And we have not had that in I don't know how many years. Over 10, 15 years?
That's right.
Whenever John Abraham was here, right? So that matters. So building and going forward, and that's why. And I love talking to you as well because it's like, listen, everyone wants Joe Douglas to make this team, you know, just snap his fingers, make this team a playoff caliber team overnight. Hello, does anybody remember the however many years Mike Maccagnan was here, the mismanagement of the roster and the cap? You can't come out of that after 1 or 2 years. We were bad. Not just bad, we were horrifically bad. Not only were we horrifically bad, we had almost a six-year damn rebuild. Hello, I'm going to say this again. For y'all don't remember, we had a six-year rebuild and did not come out of it any better than we went into it. Does anybody remember drafting Sam Darnold and doing nothing for him? Does anybody remember all these all these issues with talent, all these issues of pass rush, all these issues of not being able to secure impact position, to secure talent at the impact position, killed us for years to come. It takes a while to build.
Yeah, it had
to
happen.
What you can do.
I'll say this.
Exactly. Exactly. Go ahead. I'll say this.
I had no ill will against Jamal. I really liked everything about him. He represented us well when he was here, except at the end, you know, when he got in the contract dispute, then it turned ugly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it went south very quickly. You know what I'm saying? I understand where he's coming from. He wanted his money. He could have handled things better, but we did what we had to do on the business end because the Jets, bottom line, is like a business. We the fans, we love the sport, we love the entertainment, but it is a business. They have to look out what's best for their business, which was trading Jamal Adams to give us the draft capital for now and for the future. We should be very excited. We should be very excited. Yeah, we're disappointed with the Carl Lawson injury. That kind of, you know, kind of leaked the air out of the balloon a little bit, you know, kind of deflated me too. I was so looking forward to seeing what our front four could do, and it may still do some good things. It just might not quite be on the level it was, you know, prior to Lawson going down. But I'm excited about the prospects for this team going forward. Joe Douglas is doing it the right way. And we haven't really seen this team in a full rebuild since Parcells, and I think this is worse than what Parcells inherited. Don't you think that this team is possibly worse than what Parcells inherited?
It was horrific. Yeah, it was horrific. Yeah. And again, we looked – even before that, you had to deal – there were so many roadblocks. There's so many roadblocks in the way of not just the lack of talent, but then you got to also talk about how he was saddled with a coach, an Adam Gase, where you couldn't figure out who was talented and who wasn't. Let me give you an example of this situation. Does anybody remember this guy, Ty Johnson, that I talked about constantly on this program? There were a lot of Jets fans that thought he was trash because he was never utilized correctly, right? We talked about that. Turns out
that's
this guy ain't trash.
That's crazy, too. That's right.
Turns out he's not trash.
It drove me crazy, too, seeing what little talent we had. We did have not being maximized to their potential. We see, like, little flash and, like, a carrier, too, and then all of a sudden you can see him for the rest of the game. Same thing with Denzel Mims. You see, like, a couple of catches. We get excited, and then all of a sudden, where's Denzel Mims? We wouldn't even see him on the field. You'd be looking for his number on the field. You wouldn't even see his number. I think, what's going on?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, listen.
But we
listen,
should be.
Listen.
Yeah.
Go ahead. I want, before I let you go, because the lines are hot, man, and I love your take on what you're bringing to the table. But my final question before I let you go is, give me your thoughts about the New York Jets cutting Bless Austin. How do you feel about this cornerback situation now with him gone? What direction do you think we go? Please just give me your answer quickly on this one, man.
I think they should have held on to Bless. I think with the position being such a big question mark and thin as it is, so many unproven players, in my opinion, they made some tough cuts. I was so heartbroken by some of the cuts. I had guys I was rooting for, like your bowling tight end and even James Morgan. You know, he was showing me a little something at the end. And so I was getting excited. Yeah. But they got to keep this guy. You know, he's showing you something. So I think they did what was best. It was hard to swallow, though. But I got to believe that they're going to make some player acquisitions before we start the season. So what is it, 2 weeks before we start the season? They're not going to start this week, are they?
No, they're starting. I think the first game is it's 2 weeks. I think it starts on the 12th.
Oh, okay. So the way they're doing it right now, the preseason is 3 weeks. There's a two-week gap, and then the season starts. Okay.
Yeah,
I didn't realize that.
Yeah. So we're going to, you know, week one, and again, we'll have a show. You know, we're going to keep having shows, but we're definitely going to have a show building up to that that first week, that game again. So we're going to definitely be discussing
and I look forward
a lot
to
of
it.
That. Absolutely. Listen, my friend, I want to thank you for calling in, man. I know you have a work schedule. Listen, get that money, okay? Get that money. You know, I want to say that to you first.
Oh,
I know you got to get that moolah. Go ahead and get that money. But it's always great to hear from you, my friend.
Yeah, and I thank you, and I just wanted to let you know I'm always thinking of you and trying to tune in when I can, even when I'm on the job and I don't have an opportunity to call and actually talk with you. But whenever I do have that opportunity, we will talk.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, my friend. You have yourself a good night, all right?
All right. You too, now. Take care.
You have a good one. Listen, My guy, man. He And that's my guy from North Carolina, all right? And he brings the heat, okay? He brings the heat. He knows his Jets. We all have different takes, but he calls in, man. It's always great to hear from him. But hold on a second. I want to respect the money, okay? I'm going to respect the money. Salutes to my guy, BK Trainer. I said salutes to my guy, BK Trainer. With the big, 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 big donation. Salutes to you, man. It's always good to see people give to the platform. I want to thank you for, you know, donating. It's greatly appreciated, man. Salutes to you. And thank you again for being here, watching, and being in the chat. So we're going to keep getting to it. But, again, salutes to my guy. I love it. I love it. I love it. Thank you again for giving to the platform and showing us love. We're going to keep things going, man, but salutes to you. And again, I want to thank you. I respect the money. You know, we get into these conversations, and I love discussing these Jets. And again, you know, full disclosure, I love Monty. I think he's out of his mind, but I love him. I love that guy. I got a lot of love for him, man. You know what I'm saying? But when he comes and talking about Joe Douglas gets an F and you don't trade safety because they're important and they're more important than pass rushers, I'm like, bro,
what more do you want from me?
You must be out your mind, man. Monty, you are completely crazy, bro. You got to stop smoking that crack.
You're smoking crack. Stop.
You got to stop, man. So we're going to get back to these lines. Again, 515-602-9639. 515-602-9639. Call in. You know, this call from Monty has set it on fire. This is ridiculous. Monty, you crazy, bro. I got love for you, but you crazy. All right, next I'm going to my guy, Angelo, man. Angelo, salutes. I want to thank you for calling in tonight. Angelo, give me your thoughts, man. How are you feeling about some of the moves that Joe Douglas has made, some of the cuts that he made? There's a lot of people attacking Joe Douglas, some people in the fan base as well, talking about some of the, you know, cuts that we made affecting how they look at him as far as his drafting. Guys like Morgan were cut, who was a fourth-round pick. Zuniga was also cut, later, you know, put on the practice squad. Are you questioning his drafting ability as well?
Man, first year and let me follow that guy. Man, that call was fire, bro. I don't know if I can compete with that, man. Jeez. I never heard that guy on the show, man. That guy's spitting fire, man. Where did he come from?
Hey, man, holy you crap. Know, my guy, he pops up. He pops up. He spits his takes, man. Dude, he spits his takes.
I like it, man. He has some knowledge, dude. He had old school knowledge. But anyway, man, first thing that stood out to me, you know, after all the cuts, I mean, I kind of expected. Once you saw the list, you're like, okay, like, the really surprise was Jeff Smith over Vincent Smith. I mean, either way, I think they're both
yes.
kind of the same player. I kind of thought Vincent Smith had the upper edge. But I guess Jeff Smith, he, you know, they like him. You know, those guys are in the practice with him every day. They see it, and, you
yeah.
know, he deserved it. So I think we got a nice mm-hmm. group of wide receivers, and obviously a day or two after that, you see Bless Austin get cut. You're like, whoa, like, okay. Like, I thought he was, like, a fan favorite. Everybody liked him. And then, you know what, man? We drafted so many young cornerbacks. I mean, you saw the draft, right? We have a lot of depth there now, and I guess at this point, they like what they see from the young guys, and it's, like, better to get them
yeah.
experience now. They know this is probably a rebuilding year. Maybe Bless Austin is not part of the future. You know, he had one good year. I guess last year was up and down, and maybe they knew at some point they're probably going to be moving on from him, so why not now and give the young guys some playing time? And,
yeah.
Yeah, overall, man, what a surprise with that. But when you kind of think about it, it makes sense. Now, you know, I know a lot of people love Bless Austin, and it's like, you're right, why not just keep him? I mean, we don't have a lot of experience there. You thought he was like our experience, you know, him and Bryce Hall. Those are like the experienced guys. So I thought for sure that's what we were going to roll with this year. So very surprising. But then again, Joe Douglas knows what he's doing, man. At this point, we are trusting in him. And I know it's a tough decision, but sometimes you got to do what you got to do, man. It's a business, and you put the maybe the potential of those young guys ahead of Bless Austin, which we know we're already going to get from him. And but
yeah.
overall, I think, and then Josh Adams. I mean, I think we all kind of like knew he was going to be the one left out, even though I thought there was a chance. I kind of thought he looked better than Piran at some point, but I knew they weren't going to let Piran go. You know what I'm saying? So I kind of, Josh Adams, another guy I really liked, but I kind of, the running backs, I thought, James Morgan, man, that was the kind of shocker there too. But I guess the fact that he signed with Carolina, but I mean, really, are we that surprised? It just kind of sucks that we wasted a fourth-round pick last year on him. Jabari Zuniga, I talk about him all the time, but you know what? He just wasn't there, man. He was always hurt. And, it's a shame, dude. It's a shame. You want to see your draft picks do well. And we're all saying Joe Douglas is a draft guru, but, man, look at that. Last year's fourth and third-round picks are already off the team. And it's like, what happened there? You know, what was up with James? You know, you probably look back at the draft and see who was drafted after James Morgan, and you probably see some players like, wow, well, we could have had him. Like, why? There's a couple guys there that, I don't know who decided to draft James Morgan. I don't know who, if that was a Gase thing or what, but to me, we all thought that was a mistake anyway. So I guess I'm kind of glad that he is off the team.
Yeah, you know, you look at the situation. I think, especially I remember around that draft, I was – James Morgan, that was the pick that I was, critical of him. Because, again, I thought he did a solid job in that draft, especially in that same draft. He was the guy that traded down and was still able to get Denzel Mims in the building. But to me, that James Morgan pick always was a head-scratcher because we needed so much, particularly on the offensive side of the ball, that was not a quarterback. You know, we had Sam. We were like, hey, we don't need a backup quarterback that bad. We need offensive linemen. We need wide receivers. You know what's going on. But like you said as well, those guys being off the team now, it's like – you look at that draft, and again, I'm not knocking him for it. I'm not, banging on Joe Douglas. He's made some moves here, but again, like you said, you draft those guys, and then a year after, boom, they're gone. So I want to move on a little bit with you because you talked about the cuts and some of the guys you were surprised. Were you surprised about the trade that we were able to make, sending Chris Herndon to the Vikings and being able to get a fourth rounder back?
Yeah, at this point, you'll take it, because we draft him in the fourth round, and obviously, it never worked out. And I think last year's draft, again, I think we're going to look back and be like, it was okay. But I feel like this year's draft is really going to cement Joe Douglas. I feel like the players we brought in this year are all going to be part of the team for a while. And, like the last caller said, man, that's all we're really missing is a bit. We never really had – we haven't had a big playmaking tight end there in a while. And how good did it look to see Tyler Croft in the preseason, man? They're like, holy crap, we have a tight end who can catch the ball and get in the end zone and block. And that's still, for me, a position of need. I hope Croft does well and Ryan Griffith comes back and Yeboah is in the practice squad. And I still think we're a little thin there at tight end. So, again, surprised that we traded him because we are thin. But I think at some point, you just got to let these guys go. They're not part of the future. So, yes, Chris Herndon probably would have had a decent year, maybe a little bit below average, but he's not part of the future, man. And at this point, you got value, get the pick. Dude, we are stacked in the draft next year now, man. I mean, that's what you're saying. We're just building for the future. Joe Douglas is good about holding on. Like, he's investing. He's a very good investor. And I feel like we have young players and a lot of draft capital, and that's what you want in a football team, right?
Yeah. I mean, you're talking that talk. Listen, Angelo, I got to get back to these lines, man. You've had a great call. Let me go ahead and give you a hand, man. Give them a hand, studio audience. Go ahead. Don't be shy. Give them a hand. Yeah. Yeah. Let's go about some heat. Salute to you, Angelo.
Right,
listen,
Joe,
I want to thank you
later,
for calling
man.
In, my friend. Yeah, next time I have a show, I want to hear from you, all right? You have a good one, my friend.
I'll call in.
Listen,
bye.
Absolutely. Listen, Angelo called in. He brought some heat there, man. We got to keep getting to these lines. 515-602-9639. 515-602-9639. Call in, okay? We are talking Jets. I'm arguing with everybody. Name Monty. I'm arguing with everybody named Monty. Nothing but love to him, but I'm arguing with everybody named Monty. If your name is Monty, call in. I'm going to argue with you. So next we're going to my guy, Jacob. My guy, Jacob, he knows his stuff, man. Salutes to Jacob. I want to thank him for calling in tonight. Jacob, talk to me, man. How are you feeling about the New York Jets after these roster cuts? What was the most surprising cut in your mind?
Hey, what's going on, Joe? Nice to talk to you again. And
good to talk.
You know, there were a few cuts who I was a little bit disappointed with. Obviously, everyone's going to lean towards that Bless Austin one, but I mean, I can't see the the logic behind it. Trying to get these young guys in because we really know what Bless Austin's going to give us. He's going to give us some times where he's apparently Deion Sanders in his prime, and other times where he's blindfolded, and you don't know which one you're going to get. And so I think for what the situation we're in right now, I think it makes more sense to give these rookies a chance where, obviously the corner room is probably going to struggle for at least the first half of the season. But I think these guys are going to adjust. And really, if just one of these guys becomes a Pro Bowler and the rest become busts, that's still a success to me. All you need is just one of them to hit. And for me, that's really a success. Obviously, you'd like to see multiple. But if one of them can succeed, that would be more than enough for me. So I would say Bless Austin is probably the most surprising out of all of them. I think they tried to trade him for like a sixth or a seventh or something, but no one wanted to budge. So
yeah,
that's probably why I would go with too.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I was shocked a little bit, or actually shocked quite a bit by the release of Bless Austin. But, it seems like the Jets are ready to go forward with a lot of these young guys. And that's going to be my next question for you, because I look at this situation, I say, okay, well, with Bless Austin being gone, right, that opens up our number one. I would guess that Hall is going to slide into that position. What exactly, which one of these young guys do you think is going to take that number two spot? Because in my mind, and, some people call me biased because I liked Echols the second we drafted him. I think it's Echols, man. I really, really do. I think he's the guy who's going to step into that. We've seen a little bit from Isaiah Dunn as well. We've heard about him. Possibly being put in that position too, but we've also seen Dunn struggle as well during the preseason. So for you, who's the guy you're looking at saying, this is probably going to be the guy that's going to be that number two corner?
I would probably lean towards Echols as well, but I think Jason Pinnock may have a chance too. He's actually a pretty underrated player. His in college, his percentage of, the quarterback rating against him and the completion percentage against them was actually pretty low. And people don't really realize it because, the fifth and sixth round picks don't really get a lot of buzz. They just, they're sort of late round guys who are projected to just fill in the extra slots on the team. But I think he's actually pretty underrated as well. But I would, for the start of the season at least, I would probably lean towards Echols too.
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at as well. So now I want to ask you a little bit about this Shaq Lawson trade, man. What are your thoughts about that? New York Jets give up a six-rounder. In 2022, they get him. How are you feeling about how he's going to be able to fit into this defense? What do you think he's going to bring here?
I think he's going to bring solid run defense because that's really what he's about. From a lot of the people, because sometimes I like to go through, the comments on Instagram and see what, fans of their former teams like to say about the players. Because they'll be pretty honest about it, whether, coming from a fan of this team, he's good or he's good at this. So a lot of people have said he's really good in run defense, but he, can't, create any pressure in the pass defense to save his life. So I guess he's really just there for probably he's going to be in on goal line for sure, because obviously when you're on the goal line, you'd expect a run. And I think he's going to hopefully be able to create some of his own pressure in the pass game, but I guess we'll see from there. I think he's a nice veteran presence, though.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I think that it's solid to be able to put him into the rotation. I think he's going to help, a bit. I think a lot of Jets fans, I heard a lot of Jets fans immediately say, hey, this is going to be the guy to come in and replace Carl Lawson. And I was like, I think you guys need to taper your expectations a little bit. He's going to be a guy that's going to come in and help. But if you're expecting, 15, 16, 17 sacks a season, I think you're in the wrong spot. He's going to be a guy that's going to come in, push the pocket a bit, and we'll see what we get out of him. So my last question for you before I let you go, my friend, because you're really bringing the heat tonight, is this backup quarterback situation, kind of turned out a bit differently than I think a lot of Jets fans thought it would going into this offseason. What are your thoughts about Mike White winning that backup quarterback role?
I think it was pretty deserving. I think he performed pretty well. obviously it's against, you know, third stringers or second stringers or whatever, mm-hmm. but I think really that's, I mean, you can't expect him to go out there and be, you know, an MVP quarterback, obviously. So what we were looking for out of the backup role, it was really a toss-up between the three. And, like, if you would have said before the preseason started that this guy's going to be the backup or this guy's going to be the backup, you know, nobody would really look at you like you're crazy or anything because it was really just whoever mm-hmm. performed the best. So I think he really won that role. Although I will say having James Morgan go to the Panthers out of all teams isn't the most ideal landing spot for us because obviously he knows our playbook pretty well. He's been studying it since he got here. So I'm hoping if he does end up traveling with the team to play the Jets week one or if he's in Carolina when they play the Jets week one, that nothing's spoiled for us.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you know, we'll see what happens going forward. Again, I mean, he may have a little bit of the book, but I'm sure, you know, things are going to change up a little bit, different schemes or different, you know, type of attacks are definitely going to get put in. But I was a little bit shocked as well. I thought that they would be able to stash him, but, you know, according to reports, he said, I'm going to Carolina, you know, because the Jets really did, you know, think that they were going to be able to stash him. So, yeah, it was some solid moves, man, some really solid moves. You got people that think Joe Douglas deserves an F for his entire time here. But I think that Joe Douglas has made some solid moves with building for the future. And
we all know who you're referring to.
Listen, Jacob, I want to thank you for calling in tonight, all right? I got to let you
go. I will say, Joe. If you want to throw a preseason party to celebrate the trading of Chris Herndon, make sure my name's at the top of the invite list, okay?
Absolutely. You already know. I told people. I love Herndon. I had a lot of love for him, but I needed to see him do something, bro. And he didn't get it done, so we moved on from him. But salute to you, Jacob. I want to thank you for calling in. You have yourself a good night, all right?
You too.
All right, have a good one. Listen, Jacob calling in with some fire as usual, man. Oh, man. Whew, what a show. This was a hot show. He had a lot of great takes going back and forth with a lot of people. Really, really enjoy, you know, having discussions with everyone about this football team. And I also want to thank everybody that called in tonight. Phenomenal, phenomenal show. So we're going to go ahead and close out the show now. Listen, I'm the man of the people. I'm here for the people. Let me shamelessly promote my Facebook page. Everyone go on Facebook, search The Long Beach Joe Show. Like that page. My content's up there. Go ahead and give it a listen. Message me. I'll message you right back. I love going back and forth with folks about this football team. Also, leave some feedback. I love hearing about what you folks think I do here on The Long Beach Joe Show. I'm also on Twitter as well, at YoungJ000, the 3 0s. Go ahead and follow me. I'll follow you right back. You want to troll me? No issues. I am the troll that lives under the bridge, and I will troll you right back, and I'll have my Vera Tucker jersey on at all times, okay? He's going to be out there week one. He's going to be out there week one, baby, okay? I'll have that jersey on, and I will troll you, all right? So, again, follow me. I'll follow you right back. I'm also on YouTube as well. Long Beach Joe Jets on YouTube, okay? Long Beach Joe Jets on YouTube. That's where we live stream the show. That's where you'll see the show from. Oh, my Twitter, the show's Twitter as well, excuse me, is The Long Beach Joe. The Long Beach Joe, that's where you'll find my show's Twitter as well. You can see me stream on there as well. Some content I put on there. That's where we put all the links to the show. So follow that, and, you know, we can go back and forth on there as well. And, again, the YouTube page where we live stream the show on YouTube is Long Beach Joe Jets. Long Beach Joe Jets on YouTube. You know, go ahead, subscribe to that channel. If you have not already, turn on your notifications so when I post content, you folks will be in the know, okay? We do live shows on there. I post my videos, my other content on there. We also game as well. We play games together. We have a lot of fun, a lot of NBA 2K. That's going to be coming. Madden, that's going to be coming. All that stuff. So we have a lot of fun live streaming, a lot of good stuff going on there. So please subscribe, give the videos a thumbs up, turn on your notifications. And as always, people, when you see me in person, all right, it is arms out, chest open, free hugs for everyone. Free hugs for everyone. The hugs will cost you absolutely nothing. Do not listen to anyone that says I charge for hugs. That is a lie. The hugs will always remain free, okay? So I want to thank you folks for listening. Without you people, I'm absolutely nothing. Thank you for taking the time out of your day to listen and call into the show. You folks are the absolute best. So you folks have a good one, okay? Peace.